Welcome back, guys. DGS 305. Time to talk to our buddy Tom Ackerman, the sports director and anchor of Total Information AM. Tommy, how you doing, my pal?
What's up, Dave? I'm good.
Tom, I was going to start the interview off by asking you about the new uniforms, the City Connect uniforms, but I was going to phrase it like, as a fellow baseball purist, but I realize I don't know if that's true. Like, would you consider yourself sort of a purist when it comes to the game?
Yeah, I'm a purist, I would say. You know, I would consider myself that, a traditionalist, I guess, or however you want to put it. And when I look at the uniforms, my first look was, hey, look, they look pretty much the same as the Cardinal uniform. They actually look like a spring training uniform. I like the Lou across the front. I really like that they collaborated with Nelly. I like, actually, you know what I like the most is that it appears that they put a lot of thought into it. You know, they really got together with Nelly. They did as much research as possible. It has a stamp on it, kind of like they took creating the World Series ring very seriously. When they won in 11, Buildwith the III took a lot of care into what that ring was going to look like to stand the test of time. They have every little detail planned out. They put a lot into it, and, you know, as it turned out, I think it was good. I mean, you know, I'm not somebody that, you know, obsesses over these things. I care a lot about the tradition of the team and the uniform and the brand. And I thought they did a nice job.
I do, too. I agree. And you know me, I make a living going, that's stupid. But I like them, too. I like the look of it. I like the little more casual. I like the mixing them up. My favorite of all time is the blue, you know, like the Sunday blue. I love those. So, yeah, I agree. So, Tommy, obviously the team's doing better. The offense has awakened. The bats are active. I think we have the highest batting average in the league over, like, the last 7 to 10 days, something like that. But at the same time, I was talking to Ranji about this in the first hour, it's kind of feels like that moment when you're going up the Screaming Eagle right before you fall, like you don't want to get your hopes too far up.
Yeah, they really dug themselves a hole this year is the problem, you know, so everything that they do now has urgency to it, and I think it's a very important week for the team, you know, so if they lose 7 in a row like they did, I think you have to look at the next series and say, all right, let's turn the page and see if they can get after this next series. And then they did. I mean, they actually went 5-1 at one point. They lost yesterday. That shouldn't necessarily derail everything. They've won back-to-back series, so they're 5-2 over the last 7. So now what do they do moving forward? I think you have to say the same thing. That's great, but let's turn the page and look ahead here because this is a crucial week for the club. I think they play a very good team tonight and for the next 3 days in the Baltimore Orioles. They were the AL East champions last year. There's nothing that shows me that they can't do it again. They're 2 games out of the lead in the AL East. They're an excellent team. The only thing stopping them has been the Yankees, and they've been on absolute fire. And then after that, the Cubs, and no explanation necessary. I mean, you play the Cubs this weekend, it's a big deal, and it's Memorial Day weekend. If they can get through these 6 games with a winning record, it is a big positive for them. If they win both series and move ahead, I think you feel a lot better about this team and their chances to attain a first-place spot in the Central by the time this thing is all over, because the Central is not a great division. Good, not a powerful division. If they lose these 2 series and they have a bad week against the Orioles and Cubs, I think that's where you start to take a look at this thing like we did last year, which, if we're honest with ourselves, it was in June when I think we looked at this team and said, I think it's about time to start selling and preparing yourself for the inevitable, which is the trade deadline. This team's going to have to sell off pieces. I do think it's that crucial of a week. It's a homestand, so you've got to take care of business and defend your home turf. And hopefully the Cardinals can pull that off.
You know, I read an article a few days ago saying, as Goldie goes, so go the Cardinals. And what's really interesting about that is I've watched with great fascination with his struggles. And we've all been snake bit at something. You and I played sports in our own little way. We got snake bit or had the yips. Maybe doing radio, you'd trip over a word and suddenly you'd feel like you're going to do it again. But it was fascinating to watch this man do it. And what it seemed to me, and I certainly have no inside information, is you just have to look in the mirror and remind yourself, you've been doing this since you were 5, and you've been doing it in an excellent manner at every phase, Corey League and high school and college and the minor leagues and major leagues. You're probably a future Hall of Famer. Sometimes it's forgetting what you've been doing lately and just going back to first principles.
I do agree with that. I think that it's going back to what made you want to do this in the first place and back to why did I do this in the first place. And sometimes that's hard to do because you're getting paid a lot of money to do a job, and the worse that it goes, the more it starts to compound itself, and you think, oh my gosh, like, what, this is getting worse, and I'm not doing the job. And then, if you're someone as thoughtful and as analytic and as, into his craft as Goldschmidt is, that can really work against yourself. So, he's going to have to find a way to take a step back and look at the overall picture. I love the analogy of doing radio because I've had mornings. I mean, we read and do news for a living, and I've had some mornings where I'm like, why are the words coming out of my mouth not what my brain is thinking? Why is this happening? And, you have to, take a deep breath and say, maybe I have too much on my mind right now.
Absolutely.
Let's just get back to talking and doing radio, and this is what I love to do, and then it all comes back to you. So I totally get that. And I do think that physically he's okay as far as I hear. I mean, his swing is not lost any speed necessarily. It's just you look at him and you think he's overthinking this. I mean, whether he takes a fastball or he's swinging at a pitch out of the zone and looking like he can't handle it, it's just so opposite of what he's been. And if you look back just 2 years ago to his MVP year, he makes contact, he makes hard contact, his timing is excellent. So perhaps it will be, a few days of hitting the ball consistently and he'll just take off like wildfire. And, the other thing is he should not put, I know he is doing this, I think, but he shouldn't put all of this on himself.
No.
Nolan Arenado is equally as important, not to mention the Cardinals have set this team up so that young players perform. They've actually set this team telling you that they depend on Gorman, Jordan Walker, who's currently in the minors, and some other young players to deliver. So everyone's got to do it at the same time. And it was just a strange thing that it all happened at once. But talking to Ollie Marmol about this and other people with the club is that offense is contagious and it can work both ways. It can actually all go south at the same time, but sometimes it can all trigger at the same time. And we actually saw that in this homestand. We saw that in this last series against the Red Sox. They scored 17 runs in the first two games. And then yesterday they actually held back Wynn and Gorman. They didn't play them, sacrificing that because they wanted to give them rest. Gorman in particular has started to show some signs of heating up and leading the team in home runs currently. So let's see what happens.
If I could take one defensive guy and one offensive guy's mindset and just meld it into the mind of every Cardinal player, Mason Wynn knows he's going to catch the ball. He just knows he's going to catch the ball. And it's almost like an F you. Like, the way he fields the ball and throws it is almost like, what, you think I wasn't going to make that play? And offensively, I love the approach that Burleson takes. He's a student of the game, but he's also, he just rips it, man. He gets up there and he swings hard every time and typically makes hard contact.
Yeah, I really like Burleson, and I love Mason Wynn. I spent a lot of time with him. We were on the Cardinals caravan together. I love these caravans because you get to spend time with the players and get to know them as people. And we're sitting there at dinner as a team, as a group, as a caravan, one of the nights in Memphis. And we got into this discussion, the two of us did, about who's the greatest of all time, LeBron James or Michael Jordan. Of course, I took Jordan. I grew up watching Jordan. He grew up watching LeBron. And he was so confident in his take and was looking me in the eye, and we were talking about it. And I was like, on one hand, I wanted to say, dude, I'm like 26 years older than you, okay? Like, I watched Michael. I'm telling you with 100% certainty, he's the greatest player of all time. He was an absolute killer. But I was actually impressed with how confident he was, and I loved listening to him explain LeBron James and why he thought he was the best. Just one little thing. And then just you can see it in the way his mannerisms and the way he carries himself on the field. He's very confident, but he's very respectful. His favorite Cardinal is Ozzie Smith, who he never saw play, but he loves Ozzie. He loves what Ozzie means to his life and also to his baseball career. He's number zero because he wanted to be as close to Ozzie's number one as possible. And this is one of my favorite moments of the year. It's so small, but it's a great moment. Mason's had great plays in the field. He's had great hits. But I love this moment. It was a week ago. They were playing in a game in which he faced a pitcher that threw a curveball that totally fooled him. And he, like, backed away as if the ball was going to hit him, and the ball landed right in the middle of the plate for a strike. And he looked and started laughing. And he looks in the dugout, and all the Cardinals are laughing at him and with him, you know. And everybody's laughing at the same time. And it was one of those moments where he just shrugged his shoulders like, whoops. And everybody kind of had a lighthearted moment, and the team actually took off after that. So, I don't know. I appreciate Mason. I think he's very wise beyond his years. Sometimes it's tough to remind ourselves he's only 22 years old. No. He's got a huge career ahead of him. I really think, Dave, that the Cardinals need a star. They need a star that young players can gravitate towards, young people can gravitate towards and around. And I think he's that guy.
Tommy, let's spend the last couple of minutes talking about the coaching. So I saw a guy behind home plate in the green seats over the weekend with a sign that said, fire Ollie, hire Yachty. As you know, another one made it to one of the birthday wishes. Happy birthday to my little sweetheart, Nancy, by the way, fire Marmol. Talk to me a bit about Ollie. I don't know the man well. He can be a little prickly. How's he handling all this?
Ollie is a great guy. He is a mild-mannered, very calm, very measured. You talk about wise beyond his years. He's the youngest manager in baseball, and I think he is going to have an excellent baseball career. I think he's going through some of the things that the best go through, and one of them is Tony La Russa. Tony La Russa was the youngest manager in baseball when he was with the White Sox. He actually won the division, like Ollie, in his first year with the White Sox. And then he took a step back. The team was not as good. And ultimately, Tony got fired. Probably a mistake by the White Sox. And he ended up, you know, going on to be one of the greatest managers of all time. Not saying Ollie is, but I like the parallel of the story. He goes on to win the World Series with the A's. He wins it twice with the Cardinals. He's one of only two to win it in each league, et cetera, at the time. I love the story. Ollie told me that Tony La Russa, after the baseball writers' dinner this past January, took him aside, and the two of them, after the dinner, hung out for hours. And they spent some time, and one of the things that Tony talked to him about was taking criticism and staying true to yourself. And Tony talked about how he got criticized, not only as a young manager, but as a manager here in St. Louis. He took it, and it was tough. This is a tough place to manage. The fans know the game. The fans have been around. They've seen championships. They believe they know what's best. And Ollie, quite simply, is just going to have to take it and let it roll off his back and do what he thinks is best for this club. And he's just going to have to win. I mean, you get paid to win, and that's just how it is. I mean, there's no, you know, style points. There's no moral victories when it comes to being manager of the Cardinals. You got to go win, and you have to win now and not later. And so, unfortunately, that's what he's going to have to deal with. But I do like him. I think that while I mentioned him as mild-mannered, and I think he has this calm demeanor, I think you've seen him get riled up. He really does have some fire in him. You push his buttons, he will go off. And so far, umpires have done that. He told me he did address the team, got in front of them, and talked to them about how things need to be, and it was right after that they went on a nice run, as I mentioned, 5-1 and now 5-2 after losing yesterday. So, you know, is he the right manager for this team? Well, he's the manager of the team right now, and the players do have his back. He has their back, so you're just going to have to ride this thing out and see if he can get it done. The Cardinals' John Mozeliak said himself, while holding himself accountable, said that Ollie Marmol's a good manager, that he's trying hard, but ultimately this will come down to performance. Mm-hmm. And so it was the first time he said that on my show about a week or so ago. It's the first time that I heard him publicly apply a little heat to Marmol. So, you know, it's one of the hottest seats in sports. I really believe that, manager of the Cardinals, and Ollie's sitting in it.
Tom, you're the voice of St. Louis. We appreciate your time. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, buddy. Always good talking to you. So far away.
25 DJ Yeah, so one of the things we deal with is radio personalities. Not so much anymore because of the internet, and you can find a gazillion pictures of me, you know, just Googling it. But people who say, like, oh my gosh, you don't sound anything like you look. And people always pictured me looking like Paul Reiser. Like, small, okay. Curly, dark hair, very Jewish, not so much. And, Rach, you experienced this recently?
Yeah, so Steve Inskeep hosts Up First, which is a NPR podcast that I listen to a lot. I mean, I've listened to it for years, and I always had a very specific image of him in mind. Which was basically Rick Steves, also from PBS.
That's what I picture about him, too.
Yeah, he doesn't really look like that. He looks different, and he was on Washington Week this week, and they were, you know, I had this big panel about the Trump trial, and every time he would talk, it just freaked me out. I'm like, that's not what you're supposed to look like. This is so weird. It was strangely upsetting.
What does he look like?
I mean, he just looks like a normal, you know, 50-something-year-old man. He just didn't live up to... It's not that he didn't live up to expectations. He's like a handsome man and everything. I was just like, that's not what I thought you looked like, yeah. And it's freaking me out. I was so sure of who he was.
I have
that.
I
was wrong.
Pardon me. With Soren Narnia, who has become my friend, who does Knife Point Horror, which Nick and I are obsessed with. And I had never seen him, and I had a picture of a guy that was in, like, Falcon Crest back in the day, mm-hmm. And it was just him. It was just that guy, this red-haired guy. And then I met him, and I'm just like, I'd appreciate it if you looked more like this other guy.
Go home and come back looking like the guy you're supposed to look like.
Our friend Brian Kilmeade, for years before I knew what he actually looked like, and we would talk to him and stuff, and I never looked him up. I never really thought to, I pictured like a big, thick, like full face beard and like long hair.
Wow.
And the face of him, I realized just a couple of months ago, because I still picture him like that, even though I know exactly what he looks like, and I've met him several times. Dennis Miller. It's like Dennis Miller face with like a big, thick, bushy beard and like long hair. I have absolutely
Levin
no idea.
Levin was my weirdest one. I pictured him like Mr. Burns, like a real wormy little guy. He's got
big.
That infernal voice. Yeah,
he's
weird.
A tank.
I've had several listeners, whenever they've met me, say, oh, I thought you were going to be overweight. Like, people just think that about me.
I have had...
Probably because I'm constantly talking about what I'm eating.
I have had two separate listeners at two separate events say to me, oh, you're not so bad. And I take it as a compliment, but I'm like, damn straight, I'm not.
Welcome back, guys. SMKMOX 3:35 every day at 3:35. We talk to Dave Murray. He joins us now. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
So, sounds like the next 48 hours are going to be interesting.
Yeah, I'm not convinced it's a huge outbreak for us, but there will be thunderstorms around. There's been a little pop here and there. That will die off quickly this evening. Most of us will not see anything. Tomorrow, nothing during the day tomorrow, but it's another windy and kind of hot day. 92. The big deal tomorrow is the record's 93 from 1941, so we're going to be pretty close to that. Then we get into an unsettled weather pattern. There's a couple of fronts coming down in the northwest flow, some scattered showers and thunderstorms on Tuesday night, anytime Tuesday night, but scattered's the key word, and a couple of those could go on the strong side. Still windy and warm, 69. Wednesday, partly sunny skies. It's cooler, 82 on Wednesday, but scattered showers and thunderstorms around, and a couple of them could be on the strong side. That's the cool front coming through. Probably comes through first thing in the morning. Scattered showers and thunderstorms around Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It will be cooler for the holiday weekend with temperatures kind of hanging around 80 degrees. And I want to stress, this is not an all-day rain situation. It's not the classic summertime pattern, but there will be some scattered thunderstorms around each day. So we simply watch the sky. A lot of folks will be outside. Just be ready to get inside. They will move by fairly quickly, but it's nothing even close to an all-day rain. It appears that the stronger, severe stuff is going to either be to our north or to our south. Well north, well south. But we'll keep an eye on it during the day tomorrow.
Dave, do you enjoy watching other people do the weather, like on television and such?
When I was doing television, I didn't do much of that for a couple of reasons. One is I was on the air at about the same time. I don't like to watch anybody and then make that second guess my forecast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like going down that road. I like to be, now I know that the forecast is never going to be 100%, but I like to think that the product I'm putting out is exactly what I think is going to happen. So I tend not to watch a lot of people do the weather. There is a guy that I've known for years out in Los Angeles called Dallas Rains. I've known him for a long time. He actually used to fill in for me when I was on Good Morning America. And I like to watch him, but only because he's a bit of a cartoon character.
Hmm. Do people do, in 2024, are meteorologists basically doing it the same way? They may just come up with, you know, a couple degrees colder, a couple degrees hotter, or are there any real mavericks out there?
There certainly can be mavericks. I've kind of considered myself one of those that I don't like to go down the same road on several forecasts out of the course of a month or a year. But a lot of them, yeah, basically, you know, it's, yeah, it might be 90, it might be 89, it might be 91, you know, kind of thing. But the detail is what's important, is just not saying, you know what, it might be partly sunny today, and but it might rain too. I'd like to give some more information than that.
And explain the percentage thing again, because a lot of people will find out a bit about this today. Like, as far as it's going to be a 40% chance of rain tomorrow, doesn't mean what a lot of people think it means.
Yeah, it basically, you have to kind of know what the forecast area is. So when the National Weather Service puts out a percentage, I've never used percentages, but the forecast area is probably going to be about, let's say, 75 miles around downtown St. Louis. It means that 40% of the area has a shot of getting some showers or thunderstorms. And it doesn't, you know, that would kind of translate to, well, if you get a shower or a thunderstorm, that's 100%. It's a misleading number. It always has been, but it's used for forecast verification more than anything else within the National Weather Service. And it was supposed to stay in-house, but it kind of escaped through a bathroom window a long, long time ago, and it has always stuck.
And I know you've done the hurricane chasing. I'm thinking about taking a vacation to Florida in late August, which you said is going to be a really active time. I could run into one.
And I actually think it will be an early start, too. I will be amazed if we don't have a storm or two in the month of June. It's you know, usually the vacation rates in August and September down in Florida, you get some good, especially cruise lines. Get some great rates, because it is the hurricane season. Now, a cruise ship no more wants to be there than the man in the moon, so they'll divert around it, but it could make for a rocky cruise. But yeah, if you're going to Florida, August, September, October, Gulf Coast, East Coast, especially Mid-Atlantic down through the Southeast, be aware that on any given day, a hurricane could be in the offering.
You don't want to write out a five, but if something's coming in and it looks like a tropical storm or maybe a one, are you heading out of town or do you say, nah, let's go to Destin?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm riding it out. I would probably ride out a four. I'm not sure I'd ride out a five, but I might ride out a four.
I have regrets. We were supposed to go down to Naples one time with friends when the kids were little, and a hurricane was definitely coming, and it ended up just being like a one or a two, and they had the time of their life, and I called it off and didn't go, and it sticks in my craw.
Yeah, I can. You know, I understand that. It's you just have to. It's like a severe thunderstorm in St. Louis. You have to put yourself in a situation where, okay, if I'm going to ride out this one or two, I might have 100-mile-per-hour winds, 80-mile-per-hour winds. I might lose power for 5 or 6 days. You know, I might get flooded out. There are all those things that come with a hurricane. As long as you just don't say to yourself, oh, you know what, I'm going to ride out a two and I'm going to be just fine.
Yeah.
You might not be just fine.
I understand. Headlines, Rach?
Yes, brought to you by Schnucks Donuts for Dingers when the Cardinals hit a home run, only in the Schnucks Rewards app. And I haven't had a chance to do a live about this yet, so quickly, is every single game for the rest of the season, if the Cardinals hit a home run, you get a free donut the next day at Schnucks.
Sweet.
Just clip the coupon in the Schnucks Rewards app the next morning.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty cool. All right, Target is cutting prices on 5,000 items, including food, drink, and essential household goods, in the hopes of luring in customers desperate for a bargain.
That's smart. So I'm really surprised that fast food chains haven't done that yet, at least in a way that I've noticed.
I hear it's coming. I hear that they're all having their council meetings about you know, lowering sales due to raising prices and such.
Drivers are going to catch a break at the gas pump ahead of Memorial Day weekend. This is according to AAA. They predict a record number of travelers will be hitting the roads this weekend, with over 3.6 million people across the Midwest traveling 50 miles or more. And the average gallon of normal unleaded gas is $3.44. It's just a cent lower than last week when prices rose early before falling, but three cents higher than Memorial Day weekend last year. But it's a little bit of a relief at the pump for people this weekend.
What's the highest it got here? Do you guys remember?
Oh, gosh.
Did it hit five?
I don't think it hit five.
I remember it being in the fours.
Dave, how bad was it out west?
At its worst?
Yeah.
$7.50, $8.
Wow. That's
too much.
And there's a lot of reasons for that. I'm certainly not defending that price, but the state taxes are high on gasoline. They have a lot of regulations. There's no refineries anymore, so they have to ship it all in. There is a lot of reason why the price of gas is so high. Like right now, it's around $5.40, and I'm very attuned to that because my dad worked for an oil company almost all of his life. So I kind of know where the trends are and how they react and when the prices go up and when the prices go down and all that stuff.
All right, so the presidential election is coming up. I think we can all agree that Joe Biden picks up a lot of votes because people are never Trumpers, right? Mm-hmm. They'll never vote for Trump under any circumstances. Well, now that's not really working in Biden's favor because there are a lot of never Bidens as well. There's a recent New York Times poll of six key swing states: Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Across those states, 46% of registered voters said there was no chance they'd vote for Trump, while 52% said the same of Biden.
Say those numbers again.
46% of people of respondents.
Wow, so there are more never Bidens.
No, in those states, in those swing states, according to this poll. So, you know, it's one poll, but
still. I would love to see that broken down by people who identify themselves as Republican and people who identify themselves as Democrats. Because I always think of a never Trumper as being a Republican. Like, if you're a Democrat and you're a never Trumper, who cares?
I mean,
of course
you are.
But, but if you're a Republican and you're a never Trumper, or you're a Democrat and a never Biden, then...
All right, so people are talking about Ozempic as, you know, this miracle weight loss drug. Well, dieters are now saying that a $5 accidental weight loss drug can see you drop 30 pounds in a month.
Uh-oh.
It's those Zyn nicotine pouches.
Yeah. I'm on it.
People are posting and saying, like, I'm down 30 pounds in a month. Ozempic, that's what they're calling it, Ozempic.
Dave, I just ordered us as many Zyn as I could fit in the cart.
Well, you have to replace your killer lemonade.
Yeah, I do. That's hurting real bad. I was needing one of those today, and it wasn't there for me.
So they're just gone now?
They're just gone.
Wow.
They just discontinued them.
I'm surprised there's not a black market for it. You should have been buying those things up and put it in a tub.
That's a really... Because you used to be able to buy them by the... I'm not kidding. By the, like, actual jug.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure it's out there.
That's a really good idea.
So the Zyn, these are just little pouches you put in your mouth that gives you nicotine.
Correct.
It doesn't give you any carcinogens. It just gives you nicotine.
Oh, gosh.
I'm pretty sure about that.
Okay.
Because the carcinogens come from the burning.
Yeah, I believe that is correct. It's just like
almost like a
slow dose.
Nicotine's going to sound dumb, and I'm asking people who are not doctors, but is nicotine just by itself bad for you?
I have no idea. I have wondered that myself.
I know it's addictive.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't want the expense of buying the Zyns, then you don't put the first one in your mouth.
But it must have some kind of an actual chemical effect on you, right?
Yeah, like, I know people who do it and they love it because it's kind of like your killer lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes you feel
a little buzzed. It also apparently may slightly suppress your appetite. Because the substance activates neurons in the brain that control hunger.
Well, maybe, there you go.
Maybe 2024 is my year to get addicted to nicotine.
Down to $1.50 before you know it. Thank you, Dave.
All righty.
It's 3:47, brought to you by Fira Capital Management.